The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning, Reading. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy. And if you haven't noticed, if you're a new listener, or if you're an old listener, things have changed a little bit for Positively Healthy. And I want to read our lineup we have for you. So the first Saturday of the month, we're going to continue to have wonderful Mr. Henry Cuenca. And Henry has a show about people who have passion in their work. And so people who have helped our community, et cetera. And if he feels they have passion for what they're doing, he interviews them. And it's a fabulous show. And he will continue to be the first Saturday of the month. And then we have Dr. Todd Royce, Dr. Dave Paris, and myself, Dr. Trudy Pratt. And from there, you know, if you've listened to the show, you have three kind of health freaks in a row. And we all have a similar philosophy being chiropractors, and that is that, first of all, your health matters. Second, that the body has an amazing healing capacity. And also probably a shared belief that, you know what, when you're healthy, your life is your own. And so you can come from a place of personal power and make a lot of your own decisions. And when you have fallen into ill health, you know, it's just a lot of scheduled trips to the doctor and not getting too far from home, et cetera. And so in an effort to improve your life, this show is about helping you with different ideas. Lots of little changes create health. And if you haven't started yet, you know, 2012 is a good year to make a little change. Start something. You know, this show offers you idea after idea after idea to help you be a better version of yourself. And so based on that, that gets me to our guest who will be on the show today. And so today we have New York Times bestseller Rob Wolf with us today, and he's written a book called The Paleo Solution, The Original Human Diet, and I would like to welcome him to the show. Rob, are you with us?
I'm here, Doc. Thank you for having me on.
So glad you're here with us. Now, in my practice, we've talked a lot about your book. We carry it, et cetera. And one of the things that, no matter what you've written about, how many lives you changed, people want to know, where did he go to school? Did he go to grammar school here? Did he go to high school here? So tell us about you.
Oh gosh, you know, I'm from Northern California. I grew up in Redding, California. Went to a great school at Lassen View Elementary.
Lassen View. Okay, there's the beginning. All right, so the Lassen View fans are at home clapping. Go ahead. Where'd you go from there?
Then I went to Parsons.
Oh good.
And then we'll have to go way back a little bit. I was one of the last classes in that really wacky experiment that was Nova High School.
Oh, Nova. Okay. Great.
And then from, you know, after my 1 year sentence at Nova High School, then I went over to Enterprise High School, and that's where I finished out my compulsory pre-college education, and you know, really loved Northern California, really loved going to Enterprise High School. I had some amazing instructors over there. I still think like Robert Payton and a couple other folks are still over there.
Oh, so good. Okay, so you were a Hornet. Fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and then where'd you go from there?
You know, from there, I've always had an interest in health and wellness and whatnot. I was a competitive athlete in high school, and before high school, I was a state powerlifting champion. I got into kickboxing and stuff like that, and actually ended up doing an undergraduate degree in biochemistry. And I've always been kind of on this interested in alternative medicine, interested in different ways of healing and managing our health and stuff like that. And I actually had an inkling to either go mainstream medical school or more of like a naturopathy route. And I ended up wrapping up the undergraduate degree in biochemistry, moved up to Washington State, and was kind of trying to figure out what route I was going to go into in this healthcare scene. And during that time, I was working in cancer and autoimmunity research. But it was kind of interesting. I, you know, over the course of time, like in 1992, our basic four food groups gave way to this thing, you know, the food pyramid, which, you know, the four food groups, really, if you kind of look at it, it's kind of like a balanced macronutrient kind of story. Me being kind of the paleo guy, I'm not super excited about it, but it was, in my opinion, a better iteration than what the food pyramid, kind of brought to bear on us. And, me being a young whippersnapper, kind of counterculture kind of kid, I really was looking for anything that was different. And so when this food pyramid kind of hit the scene, I started getting an inkling that, you know, this high carb, low fat approach was kind of the way to go. Being vegetarian was supposed to be very, very healthy. And so over the course of time, I transitioned from eating a kind of high protein, higher carb, bodybuilding, powerlifting type diet into a high carb, low fat, vegan type diet.
Oh.
And over the course of that process, this is one of these interesting things. And even though I'm like the paleo guy, I really, beg people to not become religious about their healthcare, you know, like remain objective, have quantifiable data points so you can see if what you're doing is beneficial or not. Because for me, when I started heading down this vegan path, and I worked with the best people in the world on this, you know, like John McDougall, the Georgia Shawa Macrobiotic Institute. I mean, I was very geeked out on this vegan topic, but I was still trying to maintain my kickboxing and powerlifting schedule. I was still trying to maintain, you know, my kind of work output as an athlete. But I ended up going from a lean, muscular, 185 pounds, someone who could back squat almost 600 pounds. I could stand flat foot under a basketball hoop at 5'9" and dunk a basketball. No
wow.
run up. Like I was very strong, very powerful. And over the course of about 2 years of eating this vegan vegetarian diet, I lost almost 40 pounds, which I was eating the same amount of calories. And this is one of the questions I always ask for the folks that come to my seminars, you know, how can you put food in your mouth but yet lose weight, you know, and I just simply wasn't absorbing things. And that's because I had a host of gastrointestinal problems, irritable bowel syndrome, colitis, ulcerative colitis so bad that the doctors wanted to perform a bowel resection on me. And I was about 26 or 27 years old.
Man.
So, you know, this was kind of the, you know, transitioning from a high school athlete, wanting to be either, a scientist, research scientist, or maybe go into medicine, started tinkering with my nutrition and became very, very sick as a consequence. And, the thing that I would, again, remind folks about, I was so emotionally attached to this idea of vegetarianism that I just wasn't seeing any type of a factual picture of my health, of my physique, of my performance. I kept, receiving recommendations from folks in the vegetarian vegan community that I was just detoxing, I would get through this process, and I really was dying when you get right down
to it. So were you not really noticing that you were going downhill, or were you?
You know, I was miserable, but I had kind of taken my forebrain, where you do rational thought, put it up on the shelf, and then I was, you know, operating in this kind of quasi-religious belief system about what this other way of eating should be doing for me. And I kept waiting for the other shoe to fall, for the label results to meet up with what my results were, and they just never did.
Wow.
And it was an interesting process. My mom, who had been sick for a number of years, she'd had her gallbladder removed. She had all kinds of gastrointestinal problems. And what we see, you know, looking back now, knowing what I know, she had a whole host of autoimmune diseases. She had gluten intolerance. And it was this one event where she had a really massive flare in kind of an autoimmune response, and it put her in the hospital and very nearly killed her. And what we figured out was that she had a rheumatoid arthritis and lupus flare that attacked her heart and lungs, almost killed her. The doctors managed to save her by putting her on some pretty stout anti-inflammatories and immunosuppressant drugs, which saved her life in the short run, but, you know, unfortunately, I've never quite been able to get my mom 100% on board with this thing. She does pretty good, but, you know, I'd love to see her do a little bit better with
it. Yeah.
But the information that I got from my mom was that she was intolerant to grains, particularly gluten-containing grains, but virtually all grains, all legumes, and then dairy. All these things were cross-reactors with her. They precipitated an autoimmune response, and this was what her rheumatologist kind of tracked down. And when she related this to me, I was kind of thinking, okay, I don't do dairy because I'm vegan, but I eat a lot of grains, I eat a lot of legumes. A lot of what my mom seems to have going on is very similar to what I have happening. It was kind of funny, the doctors that I had in my stable that were trying to, save my life at this time, whether they were alternative medicine docs or mainstream docs, they thought that this vegan diet was the only thing that was keeping me from dying. Really shoddy genetics, and it, because both my parents had heart disease and different kind of autoimmune problems, so they just thought, well, kid, you got the short end of the stick on that. But, in my mom relaying this story to me about her reactivity to grain, legumes, and dairy, I was just literally thinking about this, and I was like, well, what would one eat if you didn't eat grain, legumes, and dairy? Like, when did those things appear in kind of the human experience? And, it was kind of this gestalt-y, like, flow of thought. And I thought, wow, paleo diet, hunter-gatherer, that's the stuff that occurred before, agriculture. And I had heard this paleo diet concept before, this idea that, the way that a hunter-gatherers ate might be healthful. And this is back around, like, 1998. And so I went into the house, turned on the computer, waited for that to boot up, had to log into, my dial-up and wait for that to boot up. And then there was a new search engine called Google, and I put into this new search engine paleo diet, and I found all of this information about like gastrointestinal inflammation, autoimmunity, this transition from a hunter-gatherer life way to an agrarian life way, and these problems that human beings have experienced as a consequence of that. I ended up finding the guy who became my mentor and that I did a research fellowship with, Professor Lauren Cordain of Colorado State University. He wrote the original paleo diet book, and that was really the seed crystal for what has turned into like a 15-year long odyssey, doing research, opening a gym, writing a book, and doing a podcast that now is top ranked on iTunes, and the book is still selling great. So we've had a ton of experience by taking this kind of evolutionary biology template and applying it to nutrition and training and lifestyle. And we've just, been very, very successful with it, and not through any like great, intelligence on my part. I'm not particularly talented, but we just have this really good idea that works very, very well. And we've shared that idea with folks, and the idea has just kind of gone viral.
Well, I think when we come back from a break, I think we'll go over, like, what is the paleo diet? I can see that your health pretty much fell apart. You started looking for answers, and you found them. And then it snowballed into, a movement for you and for a lot of, it sounds like you've helped a whole lot of people. And so when we come back from this break, Rob, let's go over what is this diet? I'm sure the listeners are just wondering, like, what did the cave men eat? So we're talking to Rob Wolf, the author of The Paleo Solution, The Original Human Diet, and he went to Lassen View Elementary. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Orchard Nutrition Center. For 30 years, our family-owned business has been Redding's premier choice for health foods, produce, bulk foods, and the best nutritional supplements. We pride ourselves on offering many locally produced foods. Our products are good for you and easy on your pocketbook. Orchard Nutrition Center, 221 Locust in the Cypress Shopping Center, open every day, 8 to 9.
Hi, Dwayne here from NorCal Satellite, inviting you to our Customer Appreciation Day. It's today, Saturday, from noon to 4. See Dish Network's new Tailgater, the portable satellite dish that allows you to take all your Dish Network programming with you wherever you go. Come by for a chance to win a 55-inch Sony HD LCD television. We'll have lots of giveaways, and we're firing up the barbecue. It's our Customer Appreciation Day. Get a map to our office at NorCalSatellite.com, 1863 Keystone Court, Reading. NorCal Satellite, your authorized Dish Network retailer.
If you're an AARP member, it may take time to switch your auto insurance. The AARP Auto Insurance Program from The Hartford is now available through Siskiyou Insurance Services in Mount Shasta, Reading, and Vernon. Call Siskiyou Insurance Service at 243-224-2345. for your free no-obligation quote. Learn more about special rates, benefits, and services designed especially for AARP members. Discover why more than 3 million AARP members are enjoying special benefits like lifetime renewability, a lifetime repair guarantee, even a 6-point claim guarantee. You can also choose extra benefits like disappearing deductible, all at rates that can save you money. Get this one-of-a-kind auto insurance program for AARP members and enjoy the benefits of a national program, but still be able to walk into a local office and talk to someone regarding your policy. Siskiyou Insurance Services, located in Redding, Mount Shasta, and Burney. 530-224-2345 and discover the AARP auto insurance program from the Hartford.
Slow down. Too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling.
Oh, welcome back, Reading. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Our call-in number is 605-4567, and if you have any questions for our guests, please do call in. And I have lots of questions that people have given me or emailed me, and so we've got a lot to ask author Rob Wolf, who is on the line here with us today, and he's written a best-selling book called The Paleo Solution, The Original Human Diet, and he's also an Enterprise Hornet. So welcome back, Rob.
Thanks, Doctor. Honored to be on the show.
Oh, we love having you. And so now you've just set us up here. We're just ripe with interest. What are you recommending? What, based on your research, are you recommending that the human race eat?
You know, to the best that we can, my ideal scenario is that, you know, more often than not, folks have some sort of, and this is, I'll go from kind of ideal and then kind of work our way backwards.
Okay.
You know, like grass-fed meat, wild-caught fish, organic fruits and vegetables, ideally kind of local, ideally seasonal. So we get in a little bit of macrobiotic kind of consideration, you know, some changes with the season, some changes with locality. Now, that's like my ideal ivory tower kind of intervention.
We're loving that,
about,
yeah.
You know, the sustainability, we're thinking about resource allocations and stuff like that. But as we move down the spectrum more towards kind of like the reality, it's like, okay, I've got a family that, you know, has three kids, and they're kind of like, okay, our budget's kind of tight. So then we're just moving into an idea that we always have a good lean protein source at a meal. We have abundant fruits and vegetables, and we're really kind of minimizing grains, legumes, and dairy, which can send people into an absolute tailspin because that's so much part and parcel of, you know, what American Dietetic Association recommendations, kind of the mainstream media, you know, the recommendations that come out of the kind of health gurus out of mainstream media. But that's really what we're talking about. And in practical application, you know, a day of eating, oftentimes folks will say, there's no way I could do this. And when I hear that, I'll ask folks, you know, have you ever in your life scrambled eggs and some fruit for breakfast? And inevitably, you know, folks are kind of like, yeah, okay, I've had scrambled eggs and fruit for breakfast. And then, you know, have you ever had, say, like some grilled salmon and a salad for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
Folks usually have. And then have you ever had, say, like, a baked chicken, a bunch of veggies, maybe a sweet potato, and a glass of wine for dinner? And folks usually say, yeah, I've had that. And that is a really typical day of paleo eating. You're just not eating breakfast cereal. You're not really eating, you know, oatmeal. The carbohydrate intake tends to be a little bit lower. Or if we have somebody who's a high-level athlete, they do more fruit. They do more yams and sweet potatoes and stuff like that. And there's a whole kind of a narcolepsy-inducing list of reasons for that, you know, that just makes people pass out when you talk to them about it. But what this diet becomes, or this way of eating becomes, is a very low inflammation or anti-inflammatory way of eating. And so people tend to sleep better. Things like arthritis and asthma and recovery from activity tend to improve. And they just generally look, feel, and perform better. And we can get under the hood and look at biomarkers of health and disease and see things go in a favorable direction. And that's really the spot where I was dropping the ball when I was experimenting with this vegan approach, was that I had clear biomarkers that were going south. They were not going favorably. I was not feeling and performing better. I was doing worse. And so I really I encourage everybody, you know, try this paleo thing for 30 days, try vegan for 30 days, try American Dietetic Association for 30 days. Like, I'm very non-religious about this. I'm very comfortable and confident that when people give this stuff an earnest shot for 30 days, that the results are going to be quite clear for them.
Now, a lot of people, they know that if they read much information, that we've basically come down to the fact that inflammation is the guilty party in so many problems for people.
Virtually everything, yeah.
And then, now, what are the subtle signs of inflammation? If you're not going to do any blood work, what would you say that's the low grade, boring, ho hum signs of inflammation?
You know, seasonal allergies are a big deal. Digestive problems like GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, is a sign and symptom of inflammation, and grain intolerance. The polycystic ovarian syndrome, uterine fibroids, like I could go bananas, you know, listing this stuff. These are kind of the more benign things, but then we clearly understand that cancer, Parkinson's, both type 1 and type 2 diabetes, autoimmune and autoimmune, non-autoimmune diabetes, all of these things share elements of inflammation as kind of causative elements. And inflammation may be kind of a nebulous term for folks. Inflammation is our body's own immune response, and some of that is good. We need some of that. When we get a cold or a flu, we want our immune system to battle this stuff off and to keep us well. But the way that we eat, the way that we live, we don't exercise quite enough, we don't get enough sunlight and get enough vitamin D, the types of foods that we eat tend to irritate the gastrointestinal lining and make us inflamed. And this kind of ramps up our immune response and the systemic inflammation. So people tend to recover less well from activity. It increases the likelihood of type 2 diabetes, like they lose the ability to manage glucose well. All of these neurodegenerative diseases have an underpinning of inflammation. And so, I mean, it's interesting, and in a way it reminds me a little bit of kind of Chinese medicine or Eastern medicine. We have one causative mechanism, which is inflammation, but then depending on your genetics, it may manifest differently from person to person. One person may manifest inflammation in the form of obesity, another person may manifest it in the form of cancer, another person may develop neurodegenerative diseases. And it's interesting, when you look in the epidemiology, people who develop type 2 diabetes tend to not have extraordinarily high levels of cancer until very, very late in life. Whereas other people who develop autoimmune diseases tend to develop very, very little cancer. But yet the mechanisms that are underlying this are very similar. The systemic inflammation tends to be very similar. And that's what we would call an epigenetic input. It's the environment influencing genetics, but then it's our individual genetics that will predispose us down one path or another.
Oh, excellent. And then when we come back from a break, I want to talk about just the successes that people have had. It sounds like you've coached a couple of thousand people, really, with this diet, or is it more than that, or...?
It's a whole lifestyle. I mean, we like to call it kind of a lifestyle or a template.
Yeah.
When you say diet, it makes it more accessible for folks to get the first bite. But
okay.
Yeah, it's a bigger picture.
Then let's talk about the successes people have had kind of moving to your lifestyle. Does that sound like a plan?
That sounds great.
Okay, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and we're talking with author Rob Wolf. He's a best-selling author who's written The Paleo Solution, The Original Human Diet. We'll be right back.
Do you have neck, shoulder, or back pain? Did you know that acupuncture can help? The experts at Reading Acupuncture Healthcare can treat all these problems and so much more. Acupuncture is a virtually painless therapy that's been used in China for over 1,000 years. It stops pain by stimulating the production of pain-killing endorphins while improving blood flow to the area of pain. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare has 2 experienced acupuncturists with over 25 years of combined experience. Reading Acupuncture is the largest acupuncture clinic in Shasta County and offers the most extensive selection of Chinese herbs, teas, books, and aromatherapy products in their herbal pharmacy. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is conveniently open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Tuesdays and Thursdays until 7 p.m. We also have Saturday appointments available for your convenience. If you or a loved one have pain that prevents you from enjoying life to the fullest, then call today for a free consultation at 223-2346. Reading Acupuncture Healthcare is in the Rayleigh's Cobblestone Shopping Center on Hartnell. Call today, 223-2346.
This is Carl Bott. I'm with Chef John Scandelli right here at Anselmo Vineyards. I'm back in the kitchen.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, you know, I love it here. What's on the menu for today?
Today we're rolling out some special raviolis for Grandma Velia.
Beef, raviolis, salad, fish. You know if you go to Anselmo's, it's going to be a superb meal.
Always made fresh with a ton of passion.
Well, that's why we like dining there.
Anselmo Vineyards, just a short drive from Palisadro. Anselmo Vineyards, it will become your favorite destination getaway.
This is Bill and Lisa Collins inviting you to join us this Sunday, January 29th.
As we bring you the classic horror story, The Monkey's Paw.
This encore performance celebrates our one-year anniversary, featuring the voice talents of Stephen Klein, Bob Korolec, Elizabeth Johnson, and Bill Collins.
Sunday at 4 p.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or on the web at newradiotheater.com.
Brought to you by Dr. Julie Gussenhoven, optometrist.
Kent's Meats and Groceries and Kathy's Deli.
And Jeff Avery, State Farm Insurance.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show this Saturday. It's Positively Healthy, always from 10 to 11 on Saturdays on KCNR 1460. We're talking to author Rob Wolf. He wrote a book called The Paleo Solution, The Original Human Diet. There's the word, human. And he's a Reading native, so he's calling in today to talk to his hometown. So welcome back, Rob.
Hey, Doc. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about not just the diet, but when you've helped people make a shift to this diet, and then you have other factors, I'm going to guess, including exercise and maybe some supplements, et cetera. I want to know how they did, what kind of diseases got reversed, how long it took, et cetera. And then as you're answering that, I also want to know, based on your opinion, just how much exercise does the human carcass need?
You know, I'll tackle the exercise piece first.
Okay.
I think folks go a little crazy on that. Like, I think that human beings are wired up to be quite active, but I find that if we were to kind of graph the intensity of things, people go kind of from 0 to 60, and they don't have a lot of middle ground in between. So, like, we'll be desk bound all day, tight hamstrings, tight hip flexors. I'm sure you see this in your practice all the time. They get this kind of X syndrome where they're kind of kyphotic, rounded shoulders, tight hip, you know, hips and everything. And then the thing that they will do, they will either do long distance running or long distance cycling, seem to be the vogue, which are, again, not really doing that much to, like, mobilize people. They're kind of staying in one gear, for lack of a better term. And so I would like to see people do something every day, but one day I'd like to see them lift some weights. Another day I'd like to see them do some yoga. Another day I'd like to see them do some sprint intervals and really get out and move instead of just trying to slog along and put in, say, like 10 miles or 15 miles or something. I'd rather see 15 or 20 minutes of very vigorous activity, but broken up, you know, doing a variety of things, versus just like long, slow distance activity. And for that long, slow distance activity, I would rather it be fun. Like you get out and play Frisbee with your kids. You do a pick up like a, you know, ultimate Frisbee game. You take your dog for a hike. So I don't think that there's any doubt that human beings are wired up to be very active. Like that's where our best operating parameters occur. But I think we tend to be a little pedantic. We get too grooved into one thing. We look at elite athletes and you know, look at like what Lance Armstrong is doing, and we try to emulate their training loads and the way that they eat and whatnot. And it's clear from the epidemiology, professional athletes do not live a long time. That, you know, like average lifespan of NFL football players is about 55 years. It's less than what you would have in most developing countries. And there's a very clear break even point where more is not better for our health and longevity and all that stuff.
Now, owning a gym like you have or do, how does that sort of flies a little bit in the face of promoting your gym, or does it not?
Well, you know, that's a good question. We have a wide variety of programs. So when people come in, one day they're kind of lifting some weights, another day they're doing some gymnastic skill type stuff, another day they're doing a pretty hard anaerobic type workout, but it's all scaled. You know, we have people in their 90s in our gym. So when I say this stuff, it sounds, you know, pretty over the top, but we have people ranging from mixed martial arts competitors all the way to folks in their 90s. And what we do, we just have different program offerings. We plan and periodize our training so that people are getting a variety of inputs while they're also getting a good workout and they're having community and all that other good stuff that, that, you know, should be part of our lives.
And how long have you had a gym in Chico?
We've been there 8 years now.
Okay.
And just a little plug for that, we were actually picked as one of Men's Health's top 30 gyms in America. So, it, you know, we're a little gym out in the middle of nowhere, and we managed to get some kind of international recognition for the work we do, and I'm super proud of that.
And I like your range of types of participants, you know. You have a little bit of everybody,
yeah,
it sounds like.
Yeah, it's very organic. It's very tribal. Like, we've got the full, you know, town hall kind of representation there. It's pretty cool.
That's great. Now, when we talk about people healing, the healing capacity of the body, did you think you would see such a phenomenal response by the body when you got into this? Were you shocked, or is it what you expected?
I've been continually shocked. And I mean absolutely floored, and I've been kind of blown away by the variety of things that we've seen. I've known for a very long time that things like type 2 diabetes, which is an insulin-resistant diabetes, if you reduce carbohydrate levels, get people a little more active, give them some fish oil and some vitamin D, you can largely reverse that process. Like, type 2 diabetes is an environmental insult. No, really, in my mind, no different than being out in the sun too much. If you have a sunburn, you're getting too much sun. If you have type 2 diabetes, you're getting too much carbohydrates. And this is something we've known for a very long time, but we're finally getting some people in the healthcare scene at the very highest levels. Dr. Robert Lustig, who heads up the American Council, Stanford University runs the Stanford University Adolescent Obesity and Diabetes Research Program. He was on a news piece recently, and he said that a paleo diet would reverse type 2 diabetes in less than 2 weeks. And like, this is stuff that we've known for a fact, but we just now are starting to get some people in some very prominent positions saying the things that we know without a doubt. And I mean, the diabetes obesity kind of story, when you look at the increasing healthcare costs and a big chunk of what is really driving up, you know, like national debt and whatnot, it's related to obesity and insulin resistance. And it is 100% reversible. But we have this very squirrely system in which we have a government that subsidizes grain production that has been subsidized into junk food production. People are kind of encouraged to eat it because it's artificially inexpensive. They get sick. And then somewhere along the way, we all end up picking up the price tag on dealing with their health. And I'm very kind of nutcase libertarian in my politics. I like free markets and stuff like that. But the way that this story plays out is not really free market. It's a very dirty kind of setup, not to head this down kind of a political path. But, you know, we've seen remarkable benefits for type 2 diabetes. We've seen just shocking benefit in the autoimmunity realm, multiple sclerosis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis. There's a really great TED Talk floating around the internet, and it's from Dr. Terry Walls. She was basically in a wheelchair from multiple sclerosis and got exposed. And she's an MD, you know, a standard kind of allopathic MD, but was very sick, had done the full retinue of interventions that allopathy could give her, and then she started doing some reading on this paleo diet concept and leaky gut and autoimmune response, did a paleo diet, and she has one of the most popular TED Talks out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's a great one. I've seen it.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. So we just have literally tens of thousands of testimonials like this floating around the internet in a reproductive issues, autoimmune issues, neurodegenerative issues, autism spectrum. It applies to so many things that it almost raises a credulity flag. It's like, come on, does it really address all of that? But, you know, what we're doing here is a systems-based approach. It's not just food. We're also talking about sleep. We're talking about vitamin D levels and sun exposure and socialization And so we have a systems-based problem, and so this is a systems-based solution. It's not just take a pill and you're good. Like, the list of supplements I recommend is really short. It's pretty much like fish oil, some vitamin D, and then, you know, if I were in a clinical practice like you are, I might go further down the rabbit hole recommending some specific things for specific folks. But people inevitably want a quick fix out of a box or a bottle, and the fix is quick, but it involves tweaking your food, making your sleep a priority, kind of blacking out your room so you sleep in a darker room and you get better quality sleep, making sure you get good vitamin D in your diet or get some sunlight. And that stuff works miracles. It's just shocking.
Oh, excellent. Well, we're going to go to a quick break here. And when we come back, you know, I want to hit a couple of topics. One is I want to talk about how addictive grains can be for people and also just about personal willpower. You know, for some people, you can put health 1 inch from them and they can't quite, you know, take that 1 inch step. And so I just want to talk about what it takes to get on board with this and what percentage of people have just an easy time, you know, quick adapters, and what people have a little bit of trouble with that. So you're listening to Positively Healthy. I'm Trudy Pratt, and we're talking to author Rob Wolf, who's written a book called The Paleo Solution, and we'll be right back.
Too tired or busy to cook at home or go out to eat? We can bring the restaurant to you. Hi, I'm Jeff from Entree Express. We've been delivering lunch and dinner from your favorite Reading restaurants for 17 years. We can deliver to your home, office, or hotel room. Enjoy your favorites from 25 restaurants by calling Entree Express at 224-9791. That's 224-9791. Or you can Google Entree Express of Reading to find our website.
This Valentine's Day, send your sweetheart the gift that shines above all others. Name a star after them. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after your sweetheart and send a beautiful gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for this year's hottest Valentine's Day gift.
He drove his car to the shop, slammed on the brakes, and yelled, "You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed." Don Steck, for Coachmaster Collision Repair. His car had been repaired after a collision, but now it had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently to one side or the other, and he never knew when it would occur. He was at wit's end. He had taken the car back multiple times to the shop that repaired it. It was test-driven 8 times. I walked around the car and could see evidence of a side impact, which gave me a clue to the problem. "I think I know what's wrong," I said. I put the car on the frame rack and compared its dimensions to a blueprint. As I suspected, the unibody was bent through the center of the vehicle. A test drive is an opinion. A blueprint is a fact. This vehicle should have been blueprinted before the repair. And no, the car was not possessed. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And we're talking with Rob Wolf, author of The Paleo Solution, The Original Human Diet. Welcome back, Rob.
Oh, thanks, Doc. Thank you.
Nice to have you here. Gosh, I love it. And so I know you lived in Reading, you were raised here, you stayed in Chico after college for several years, and now you're in Reno?
We're in Reno, yeah. We needed a bigger airport to do the travel stuff that I need to do, but we're close enough to get back down to the gym and still keep our finger in the NorCal pie, so
oh,
yeah.
Good, okay. Well, so I want to go on and move to this idea of, like, what stops people from doing this diet? What are their obstacles?
Gosh, you know, I'm really kind of a bad one on the hand-holding psychology side of this. Like, I'm kind of a big meanie when it comes to a lot of this, but I've also found that this tough love kind of gig has been very successful. In my book, I kind of mentioned that about 50% of the folks that you know, I interact with, they just, We recommend that people jump in, go no grains, no legumes, no dairy for 1 month. And we give them all kinds of resources to do this, shopping and food guides, you know, recipe books, the whole nine yards. And about 50% of folks jump in, do it, get it, they have no problems, and they're off and running. And then at some point, they usually have kind of an 80-20 buy-in. They eat this way about 80% of the time. They may notice that they're very reactive to wheat or they're very reactive to dairy, and they just kind of, you know, mitigate that exposure. But it's a very economic analysis for them and a non-religious, hands-off, not a lot of problems. The remaining 50% of people, I would divide them into an additional 50%. 25% of those folks require virtual death threats to get them to try to buy into this. And they have every excuse that, you know, I couldn't find organic meat, so I had a bagel. And I'm like, okay, that's hippie excuse for failure number one. You know, if you can't find organic meat, eat the next best thing that you can find, you know, and a bagel isn't it. So these folks are like the born, you know, lawyers of trying to sneak out of this stuff. It's like they're made out of Teflon. But eventually we usually have some sort of a kind of a come to Jesus moment where I'm like, listen, I can't be more invested in this than you are. And I can't be more, you know, concerned about your health than you are. And if you don't get on board, this relationship's going to end, basically. And usually that will buy the person in. They will finally do the 30-day intervention. And then these people are so sold to become annoying that they're so sold. Yeah. However annoying they were before they bought in, they're even more annoying when they're bought in. It's kind of like, okay, now you need to calm down on this stuff. And then we have that final 25% of our original chunk, and I never reach them. There's just a group of people that I never reach. I feel like it's a mating dance of like a tropical bird, and I feel like if I bob my head just right and wiggle my fanny just the right way and flap my wings, that I'll get them bought in, and I almost feel like I've got it, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And it's this big recidivist kind of thing. And what I find is that group, the group that is unwilling to save their own skin, I am just completely unwilling to invest anything in those folks at all, because I have this very high velocity, low drag chunk of people, about 80% of the people that come through the door, that the vast majority of them, I'm able to get results with them. It saves their life. It saves, you know, it improves the life of their kids. And so I end up not spending a lot of time on these other folks. And it sounds kind of cruel and heartless, but that's just kind of the way it plays out, because there are some people, whether they're alcoholics or foodaholics or whatever, they're just never going to, you know, get on board. To the degree that people are successful, I find that one of the first thing that they need to do is completely gut their house.
Hmm.
They need to remove all of the offensive foods,
mm-hmm.
the grains, the legumes, the dairy, the chocolate, the ice cream, the whole thing. People will, that 25% that starts negotiating, they will then bring their kids in and say, well, little Jimmy needs the goldfish crackers and the ice cream. And it's like, no, little Jimmy doesn't, because he's got ADHD and he's a nutcase in school. So, you know, I make this analogy and it's a little bit off color, but, you know, most people,
I love it.
They can be in a monogamous relationship, and they typically can be, but if you take somebody, and I don't care if they're male or female, dose them up on ecstasy and beer and drop them off at the Playboy Mansion, they're not going to be monogamous. And refined carbohydrates are like an ecstasy soaked beer binge at the Playboy Mansion. Like, you will not succeed that. When you're laying in bed at night, it's not pork loin and chicken breast that you think about. It's the Little Debbie snack cake and the Haagen-Dazs ice cream. And so you've just got to clean the house out for 1 month and really give this thing a go. And if people will do that, I find that they're you know, we have about an 80 to 85% success rate, and you know that people find a very livable range with that. If people are unwilling to take that first step of just basically gutting the house, removing that food, taking it to the Jesus Center and getting it out of their space, if they won't do that, then I they're virtually written off. Like, they are not going to succeed, because they're not willing to take one step down this road towards getting healthy, and they are not willing to recognize that these foods are highly addictive. When you look at the parameters that define an addictive substance, whether it's cocaine or heroin or caffeine, sugar fits that bill. Wheat derivative items fit that bill. They spin the same neurotransmitter centers in the brain, the opiate receptors and the dopamine receptors that hit things like cocaine and heroin and stuff like that. It's a no joke affair to get off of this food. Like, I feel for people when they've been eating very poorly and then they're trying to change. Like, it is really legitimately hard but there's also kind of no easy way around it other than just kind of ripping that Band-Aid off and kind of going through it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to tell you about, well, part of your book is you are challenging people to try it for 30 days, and I want to tell you about my 30 days, and then I also want to go through some of these questions that if I don't ask, people will be really sad, so I want to make sure that we cover those too. So we're talking with best-selling author Rob Wolf. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Amy Rogers. I'm a certified massage therapist with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology. I've worked with a broad spectrum of clients that have a variety of needs. I like to help people get rid of their physical pain so they can enjoy their lives. You can find me at Dr. Trudy Pratt's office at 244-7873. Most insurance is accepted. Number again is 244-7873. Let this be the year that you care for yourself.
Hi, Dwayne here from NorCal Satellite, inviting you to our Customer Appreciation Day. It's today, Saturday, from noon to 4. See Dish Network's new Tailgater, the portable satellite dish that allows you to take all your Dish Network programming with you wherever you go. Come by for a chance to win a 55-inch Sony HD LCD television. We'll have lots of giveaways, and we're firing up the barbecue. It's our Customer Appreciation Day. Get a map to our office at NorCalSatellite.com, 1863 Keystone Court. Ready. NorCal Satellite, your authorized Dish Network retailer.
If you're an AARP member, it may take time to switch your auto insurance. The AARP Auto Insurance Program from The Hartford is now available through Siskiyou Insurance Services in Mount Shasta, Redding, and Burney. Call Siskiyou Insurance Service at 243-224-2345 for your free no-obligation quote. Learn more about special rates, benefits, and services designed especially for AARP members. Discover why more than 3 million AARP members are enjoying special benefits like lifetime renewability, a lifetime repair guarantee, even a 6-point claim guarantee. You can also choose extra benefits like disappearing deductible, all at rates that can save you money. Get this one-of-a-kind auto insurance program for AARP members and enjoy the benefits of a national program, but still be able to walk into a local office and talk to someone regarding your policy. Siskiyou Insurance Services, located in Redding, Mount Shasta, and Burney, 530-224-2345, and discover the AARP Auto Insurance Program from The Hartford.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling
pretty. Okay, well, welcome back. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here, KCNR 1460. And we're talking with best-selling author Rob Wolf. And welcome back, Rob.
Thanks, Doc. Thank you.
Hey, we just had a call that someone named Greg, we're having a little trouble with our phone today, and so this person was just able to leave a message instead of get on to actually get to talk to you, which is a drag. But someone named Greg called in, and he has been on your diet. He's following your plan, and his diabetes is under control. He's lost 25 pounds, and his blood pressure is down by 20 points. So we
not
thank you.
Surprising at all.
I know, but that's a feel
awesome.
Good. Yeah, that's completely great. And so I appreciate stories like that, and that helps you, and everyone gets to hear that, you know, there's somebody out there in our town already doing it. And so I wanted to explain I did your 30-day challenge, and when I told people I was doing your 30-day challenge, they said to me things like, but aren't you already paleo? And the answer really was, yeah, but not really. And so the things that I had still been eating would be something like legumes here and there, tiny bit of cheese. And I really thought that cutting that out was going to be no big deal. And so when I cut that out and just followed your plan to the T, I mean, first of all, my energy went up by a third, which is great. But I think I was maybe kind of super addicted to the things that I was eating. So I pretty much was miserable for a little while and starving. And so at first I probably had 2 weeks where I remember 1 week I spent $64 on nuts, and I'm like, this is not good. And so I was just eating so much food, trying to kind of deal with some type of withdrawal of something, but then it passed, you know, so now it's no big deal. But I kind of had to go through my tiny little hurdle and shock. I guess I was just shocked, thinking that someone who hasn't had grains for ages and pretty much eats an almost paleo diet, really, it wasn't a paleo diet, you know? So what's your feeling there with my experience that where I was just, you know, walking like from the kitchen to the living room, I took a snack with me?
You know, it's really typical, and this is, it's kind of funny. Like, I know that stuff, but if I get to be too much of a zealot in recommending this, you know, it's like, it'll work for everybody, it'll solve everything, then I sound like a crackpot. And so part of my sell needs to be a soft sell. It's this 30-day, just give it a shot, reintroduce foods at the end. And it's really a little bit of a divide and conquer in a way, because I know this stuff. Like, even if people are about 85, 90% there, that remaining 10% is oftentimes a shocking return on investment when they actually bring it in. But if I push that too hard, then I get kind of kicked back, and people, you know, they're like, oh, this is just zealotry, it's over the top, I'm out of here. And so I have to, it's taken a long time to find a soft sell to bring people around and just like, hey, just give it a shot, let me know. And then when they say, wow, that transformed my life, I'm like, yes, it did, that's cool, you know, and here we go. But for me, and I'm a very kind of a in-your-face kind of personality, so it's been hard for me to learn how to find some more oblique ways to encourage people to just give this a shot. But these results don't surprise me at all. It's depending on what folks have going on, the fact that you're a healthcare provider, you probably don't get enough sleep. You're probably very, very time crunched. You have a ton of emotional demands on you and stuff like that. So that makes a lot of inroads kind of into your like vital energy. And so that's where a little tweak in the food, the lifestyle, the sleep can provide huge benefits for you. If you were living on a desert island somewhere and could go to bed when you want to and get up when you want to and had very low kind of systemic stress, you might not need to be as tight with your food to feel just as well. But, you know, the kind of the more demands you have on you, the more important it is that your food and sleep and vitamin D and all that are very, very good.
That makes complete sense. And so I want to ask some questions from people who've emailed me questions. So we have like about 3 minutes left. So
sure.
Are you up for those?
I did, absolutely.
Okay. So we have questions that reflect the idea that do you think that the success you've had is purely because you had celiac disease and not necessarily the negative effect of grains and legumes, et cetera?
Well, you know, celiac is one part of the spectrum, and there's massive growing awareness that celiac is just one piece of a very large spectrum of gastrointestinal problems related to grains, legumes, and dairy. There is a virtually identical analog to celiac, which is caused by rice in certain individuals. And then there's, celiac is an autoimmune enteropathy that causes damage to the intestinal lining. We're also clear that there's a whole spectrum of gluten intolerances and intolerances to related proteins. There's a variety of foods that can cause these problems. So this is a piece to the puzzle, but, you know, your experience is really very illustrative of the fact that, you know, things like legumes, things like dairy are impactful because, you know, you're kind of a nice control experiment in that you had not been eating grains. You'd mainly been, you know, if you had any kind of off-the-rail foods, it was some dairy and some legumes. You removed those foods, and you immediately saw benefit. And we just have thousands and thousands of people that report that same kind of finding.
Excellent. Okay, that's a good answer.
And again, you know, my hard sell here is you give it a shot for 30 days and you tell me what your results are.
Instead
of us theorizing about the whole thing, just give it a shot. You're 30 days away from having better data about the truth or falseness of this answer, you know, this statement that I'm making, than I have, you know, it's your own personal experience.
Right. And then we have like 30 seconds left, and someone has a question about, do you think the way our digestive tracts have changed over time, where maybe 30 years ago people possibly could break down grains a little better, do you think it's stress-related? Like, do you think that's part of the impact?
I think that there's something with that, but, you know, when we look back through history, we've had these problems all the way along. There's a great book called Wheat Belly by a good friend of mine, Dr. Davis, and he talks about the way that wheat has been genetically modified in the last 30 years, and that is actually a big part of the problem that is increased with wheat specifically. But these, it's, folks need to keep in mind, these are kind of universal problems. Grains have these storage proteins that protect them from predation cause damage to everybody.
Thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. It was fabulous. Good luck with your book sales. You're changing the world, and I'm clapping for you. So
awesome, Doc.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We've had author Rob Wolf on. This has been Positively Healthy.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire.